just a moment ago. We are going to be studying from this text. I want to begin, though, by looking at a statement that is made by Jude in verse 11 of his short epistle. The book of Jude is a warning to the church against false teachers that are creeping in. Remember, he wanted to write to them about their common salvation, but found it necessary to write to them, exhorting them to contend earnestly for the faith which was once for all delivered to the saints. For certain men have crept in unnoticed. And he goes on to talk about these false teachers. Verse 11, he makes a statement comparing them to three individuals from the Old Testament. He says, "Woe to them, for they have gone in the way of Cain, have run greedily in the error of Balaam for profit, and perished in the rebellion of Korah." All three of these can be studied together. It would be a good study, each of them individually as well. I want to take a look at Cain and consider just what it is that the way of Cain could be. Woe is pronounced upon the individuals who go in the way of Cain. The word woe is found throughout the Bible as an expression of grief or sorrow or affliction or misery. It's not a good word. It's a word that promises grief and misery and sorrow. And so we need to know what the way of Cain is so that we do not find ourselves walking in the way of Cain. So let's take a look from what we can learn about Cain from our reading in Genesis chapter 4. I want us to consider a few points of what walking in the way of Cain could possibly be. And as we do so, we need to be, as always, examining our own lives and making sure that we are not guilty of walking in the way of Cain. The first thing that I would point out is the fact that Cain was religious. Genesis chapter 4 and at verse 3 says that Cain brought an offering to the Lord. And on the surface, this looks good, doesn't it? It looks commendable. It looks like he's doing what is right before the Lord. However, the text says that God did not accept this sacrifice because he did not respect Cain. Genesis chapter 4 and at verse 5, "But the Lord did not respect Cain and his offering, and Cain was very angry, and his countenance fell." Being religious did not make Cain acceptable to God. Cain did not accept the sacrifice, or God did not accept the sacrifice. Cain brought it, yes. But just because someone brings a sacrifice to God doesn't mean that God finds it acceptable. And God did not accept the sacrifice. And I ask you to look closely here at Genesis chapter 4, verse 5, because it says that God did not respect Cain or his sacrifice. And there's where the problem lies. He did not respect Cain. And so his sacrifice was unacceptable. There are many people today that have the same misconception that Cain did, thinking that just because they are spiritual or just because they are religious, that they're right with God. And Cain's actions show us that one may indeed engage in a religious activity and still not be pleasing or acceptable unto God. The Bible tells us that, for one thing, one's religious service may be in error. And that's exactly what is happening here with Cain. Hebrews chapter 11 and at verse 4 tells us, "By faith Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice." It was a sacrifice that was acceptable because it was a sacrifice offered by faith. Romans chapter 10 verse 17 says that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. If Abel made a sacrifice by faith, that means he was responding to what God told him to do. Cain was not. Abel's sacrifice was a sacrifice of flesh and blood. It was an animal sacrifice. Cain's sacrifice, Abel's, was an animal sacrifice. Cain's sacrifice was of the fruit of the ground. He was a tiller of the ground. But it didn't matter what he was. It didn't matter what his occupation was. God said what he wanted. And Cain decided to offer what he thought was best. He was offering sacrifice that was in error. The Bible also teaches us that one's religion may be in vain. In Matthew chapter 15, verses 8 and 9, Matthew chapter 15, at verses 8 and 9, here Jesus quotes from Isaiah the prophet, applying the prophecy to the people of his time, says, "These people draw near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. And in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men." You see, if our heart is not right with God, our worship is going to be empty and meaningless. We may be assembled together physically in the presence of God's people, but that doesn't mean that our heart is connected with God. And if our heart is not connected with God in our worship, that exercise, that time is an exercise in futility. It is not accomplishing what we want to accomplish. It's not accomplishing what God wants accomplished with that time. It's vain. It's useless. It is wasted time. Notice before it, the verse, or before and after, talks about them drawing near with their mouth, honoring God with their lips, but their hearts far away, and in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. If we are following the traditions and commandments of men, rather than following the instruction found in God's Word, our worship is in vain. There are a lot of people today who offer worship unto God, and they offer all kinds of different actions and activities, and if you could ask them why, they would be hard-pressed to find a book, chapter, and verse to show why they're doing it. Why? Well, because we've always done it that way. Or we think that's the best way to do it. We think that that's what would be best. That's following the doctrines, the teachings, the commandments, the traditions of men. And the Bible says that that worship is vain. Cain was religious. And on the surface, it may look like he had everything going for him. But that did not make him righteous. It did not make him right before God. So just because a person appears to be religious does not mean he is not walking in the way of Cain. That's why I say it's important for us as we study this to look at ourselves and make sure that we're making the application to ourselves, that we're examining ourselves instead of just quickly dismissing this study as, well, it doesn't apply to me because after all, I'm here. I'm here, I'm assembled, I'm interested in God. I've been going to church all my life. Cain was a religious man too. He wasn't right with God. So let's take this matter very seriously as we continue to look at Cain. What is the way of Cain? Well, as we learn more about Cain, we learn and see that Cain was a self-willed man. God had specified the sacrifice that Cain and Abel were to offer. Cain offered what he wanted to offer. It's that simple. He offered what he wanted to offer. And as a result, God respected neither Cain nor his offering. A self-willed person is one who thinks that they know more than God knows, and they're going to do what they want to do in spite of what God says. Don't tell me what the Bible says. Don't tell me what you think. I know what I ought to do. And that's exactly what I'm going to do. And God's attitude towards the rebellious and stubborn, self-willed person is shown repeatedly in the Bible. How about King Saul? In 1 Samuel chapter 15, when he was told to go and utterly destroy the Amalekites, kill everything, including the king, including all of the animals. And he failed to do that. And Samuel came to him, God revealing his disapproval and his rejection of Saul. Samuel came to him and he set him straight in this matter. Verses 22 and 23.
So Samuel said, "Has the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because you have rejected the word of the Lord, He also has rejected you from being king." Now when Samuel first approached King Saul, Saul said, "I've done the will of the Lord." And when challenged on it, Saul repeated that same declaration again and again, "I've done the will of the Lord. God said otherwise." He might have made a few minor changes here and there. That might have been Saul's point of view. God's point of view is, "You threw everything I said out the window. And you did what you wanted to do. And it was rebellion. And it was stubbornness. He rejected the word of God. And as a result, God rejected him." That's the way of Cain. "I'm going to do what I want to do. I'm going to do it the way that I want to do it." And God rejects such a person. About the nation of Israel as a whole. Whenever the exiles are returning from their captivity, rebuilding the temple, rebuilding the city, rebuilding the walls around the city, in Nehemiah chapter 9, there is a prayer that is said unto God. It says here, "And testified against them, that you might bring them back to your law. Yet they acted proudly." This was the attitude of the children of Israel, the nation of Israel. This attitude of pride and arrogance, and we're going to do what we want to do. I don't care what Moses said. We don't care what the prophets tell us. They acted proudly. What did it result in? What action did it result in? "And did not heed your commandments, but sinned against your judgments, which if a man does, he shall live by them. And they shrugged their shoulders, stiffened their necks, and would not hear." You ever met anyone like that? I think we all have. That stubborn, self-willed person. You try to talk to them and they just look out the window. They shrug their shoulders. They just don't care. Yet for many years you had patience with them, testified against them by your Spirit in your prophets. Yet it started with pride. It started with arrogance. It led to this action of not heeding the law, shrugging their shoulders, stiffening their necks, refusing to hear and listen. Now what's the result? The result is that they sinned. That's the result. They sinned. And God gave them into the hand of the peoples of the land. The way of Cain is the way of stubbornness, the way of being self-willed. And the way God responds to that is by rejecting such a person. What does it mean to walk in the way of Cain? Well, it means to be self-willed. It means to think we know better than God and we're going to do what we want to do. And the result is that God will have none of it and God will have nothing to do with us. God rejects those who walk in the way of Cain. Third, we know that Cain was envious. He was envious of his brother. Envy is a feeling of resentment or ill will that is caused by witnessing or hearing about the blessings or advantages of others. When Cain saw that Abel's offering was respected and his was not, he began to resent his brother. And this opened the door for anger to enter into his heart and turn into hatred, which ultimately expressed itself in the first murder that's committed in the Bible. Genesis 4, verses 5 and 6. "But he did not respect Cain and his offering, and Cain was very angry, and his countenance fell. So the Lord said to Cain, 'Why are you angry, and why has your countenance fallen?'" There's that envy. That envy, and it led to anger, it led to hate, and it led to murder. The Bible tells us in James chapter 3 and verse 16 that envy is the source for every evil thing. James chapter 3 and at verse 16 says, "For where envy and self-seeking exist." Now notice these two side by side. Envy, Cain was envious. Self-seeking. What did we just say about Cain before his envy? Self-willed. He had a double dose of this, Cain did. He was envious. He was self-seeking. And what's the result? Confusion and every evil thing is there. Envy is the source for every evil thing. It allows ill will to grow in the heart until it is expressed in some form of evil. Joseph, the son of Jacob, his brothers sold him into slavery because they were envious of him. King Saul tried to kill David because he was envious of him. The elders and the chief priests delivered up Jesus because they were envious of him. Every time envy shows up in the Bible, someone is getting hurt. Envy shows up in these lists of sins that are found throughout the Bible, including the works of the flesh in Galatians chapter 5, verses 19 through 21. Those who live in envy, those who walk after envy are walking in the way of Cain. Do you have a problem with envy? Do you have a problem with responding in the proper way when you see someone else have an advantage? When you see someone else get a blessing that you wish you had, do you have a problem with that? You need to deal with that matter. You need to go to God and in prayer. You need to ask Him to help you to take that out of your heart. You need to get rid of that envy, because if you walk in envy, you're walking in the way of Cain. Number four, Cain ignored God's warning. We go back to Genesis chapter 4 and at verse 7, I find it very interesting that God takes the time to come to Cain and to talk to him about this. Obviously, He had told them what to do. Abel did it. Cain failed to do so. And God could have left it at that, but He didn't. God is patient. God is kind. God is loving. And God took the time to warn Cain. Why are you angry? Why has your countenance fallen? If you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin lies at the door. And its desire is for you, but you should rule over it. God took the time to warn Cain. He knew that Cain could do better, but He also knew that Cain was being tempted to sin. And so Cain was warned of the danger of his attitude. This is what God is doing here, telling him exactly what is happening. You've opened up the door to sin. Now you'd better close it. Because if you don't and you let sin in, sin is going to take over. And it's going to get worse and worse. Cain was warned, but he ignored this warning. Big surprise, his parents ignored God's warning about sin as well. In Genesis chapter 2 and at verse 17, He told them, "You can eat the fruit of any tree in the garden except one. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die." And then in chapter 3, verse 1, here comes Satan. "Oh, surely you'll not die." They'd been warned, but they ignored that warning. So did Cain. Sin deceives us. Sin is deceptive. It deceives us by trying to make us forget about the consequences of sin. So we need these repeated warnings about the seriousness of sin, and we need to take them seriously. Maybe we don't enjoy hearing sermons about hell and about judgment, hearing sermons about sins, specific kinds of sins, and how they are exceedingly sinful. But we need these warnings. Now, God does not speak to us directly as He did to Adam and Eve and as He did to Cain. He doesn't speak to us directly to warn us about the dangers of sin. But he continues to give us warnings through his word. In Psalm 19 in verse 11, as David talks about the greatness of the law of the Lord, how it is perfect, how it is sure, how it is right, how it is pure, how it is clean, how it is true and righteous altogether. It says in verse 11, "Moreover, by them your servant is warned, and in keeping them there is great reward." What do you do whenever you find out the topic for the sermon that Sunday morning is on sin, or it's on hell, or it's on judgment? You kind of tune that out. I don't want to hear about that. I don't really have a problem with that. What are you doing? You're ignoring the warnings of God. The way of Cain is the way of ignoring God's warning. God warned Cain, and he ignored it. He warns us. What are we going to do with God's warning? Number five, Cain did not master his sin. He was given the warning. He was told that he had to master his sin, and he chose not to. I've always liked the way the New American Standard Version renders Genesis chapter 4 and at verse 7, where God gives the instruction to Cain, "If you do well, will not your countenance be lifted up? And if you do not do well, sin is crouching at the door, and its desire is for you, but you must master it." The battle is on. Whenever we are being tempted, the battle is on. And God does not call us to put our spiritual life on autopilot or cruise control and just go over the bumps of life and temptation. No. He calls us to the battlefront. We are to be alert. We are to be sober. And when it comes to temptation and desire and sin, God tells us to master it, or it will master us. That's exactly what happened to Cain. He had the opportunity to shut the door, close the door on sin, to repent and to do what is right. And instead, he chose to give in to the envy and the anger, and it ruled over him, and it led to murder. God does not insulate us from temptation. We live in a world that has been cursed by sin, and Satan dangles his lures before us every day through the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life. God expects us to practice self-control. And God expects us to master our sinful desires. Not to continue to give in, but to master them. Look with me in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 24 through 27. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 24 through 27. "Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it. And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown. Therefore I run thus, not with uncertainty. Thus I fight, not as one who beats the air, but I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified." The path of self-discipline is hard, but it leads to victory. The way of Cain is easy. Just give in. Whatever the feeling is, whatever the temptation is, whatever the desire is, just give in. It's easy, but it leads to ruin. It leads to disaster. It leads to death. The way of Cain is the easy way of just going with the flow and giving in to temptation. Do you have a sin that's especially troubling to you, that you have not been putting forth the effort to resist and to overcome like you know God expects you to? You could be walking in the way of Cain. You need to repent. You need to get serious. You and I need to get serious about the sin in our life. And finally, Cain refused to accept responsibility. When he did commit this murder, Cain showed a regrettable lack of character, not just leading up to the event, but after the event. When he killed his brother in Genesis chapter 4 and at verse 9, then the Lord said to Cain, "Where is Abel, your brother?" He said, "I do not know. Am I my brother's keeper?" From that time on, that phrase continues to be used by those who don't want responsibility. I'm not my brother's keeper. Some realize I am my brother's keeper. I do need to exercise that influence. I do need to see and to make sure that my brother is doing what is right. And I'm helping and not hurting my brother. Cain refused to accept accountability for his brother's well-being. I don't know. That's a lie. I don't know. Am I my brother's keeper? Not only that, but did you notice also in verse 13, Cain did not want to accept the punishment for him? I think this goes right along with the fact that he didn't want to accept accountability, responsibility. He didn't want to accept the punishment for his sin. And Cain said to the Lord, "My punishment is greater than I can bear." Shows a lack of character. A true lack of character. Refusing to be accountable. Refusing to accept responsibility. And refusing to accept the consequences of one's actions. The Bible teaches just the opposite. The Bible teaches that God holds us responsible and accountable for our choices and our actions. We are going to reap what we sow. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 7. "Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap." And in Romans chapter 14. Romans chapter 14, verses 10 through 12. "But why do you judge your brother? Or why do you show contempt for your brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, 'As I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God.' So then each of us shall give account of himself to God." Those who foolishly dismiss their accountability before God are walking in the way of Cain. Why do we have so many so-called atheists in the world today? Is it because naturalistic science has set forth an airtight case? That the theory of evolution is so convincing that you can't help but believe it and accept it? No. It's because evolution is the only thing that the person that doesn't want God has going for them. They don't want to be accountable to God. They refuse to accept the fact that they're going to be held responsible by God. And so we've got to get rid of God altogether. There's the appeal. Not that it's good science. Not that it's reasonable. It's the way of Cain. I don't want to be responsible to God. So let's get rid of God. Those who foolishly dismiss their accountability before God are walking in the way of Cain. So we learn some things from this man that appears very early on in the Bible, but is not forgotten because he appears again in the next to the last book of the Bible as a way to summarize all those who would be holding to and teaching error, walking in the way of Cain. What do we know about that? We know that Cain was a religious man. Just because a person's religious doesn't mean that they're right with God. They may still be walking in the way of Cain. Cain was self-willed and envious. And through those two avenues come every evil thing. Cain ignored God's warning, refused to master sin, and refused to accept responsibility. Could you and I be walking in the way of Cain this afternoon? Could we be walking in the way that God condemns. We need to be honest with ourselves. We need to examine ourselves. Take this warning seriously and make sure that we're not walking in the way of Cain. I thank you for your patience as from time to time human mistakes take place and slides get put out of order and sermon outlines get left on a desk. It's a good thing I didn't leave it at home. But it's good that we're understanding and we can accept and overlook those kinds of things. But we can't overlook the importance of our soul. We can't overlook the love and the mercy of our God who extends salvation to us in our imperfections, not calling upon us to continue in those imperfections, but to strive to serve Him faithfully and to make a true difference in changing our hearts and in our lives. Brethren, let's make sure we're not walking in the way of Cain. If you're here and you're not yet a Christian, not yet a child of God, you need to become one by confessing your faith in Christ, repenting of your sins, and letting us baptize you in water for the forgiveness of those sins. If you've done that, but you've become unfaithful, you realize from our study this afternoon, there's some things that are not right in your life. Make them right. If you can do that between you and God alone, then by all means, take care of that matter. But if you'd like for us to pray with you, or you need to take care of it in a public way so that everyone knows that you're striving to make amends and to do right, then we'd be glad to help you with that. Whatever your need is, let it be made known by coming forward as we stand and sing the invitation song.